3, the low tonight. Fair skies, chance moisture 10%.
This is Tuesday, the 12th of March, 74.
By transcription from Collingswood, New Jersey. Time, 6:31.
Good morning. Good morning, wherever you are, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carl McIntyre with you again. We're fresh and we're happy today. We've got lots of good news to pass on to you. Things are happening down in Washington. Jim Nichols, who lost radio station KAYE because of the actions of the Federal Communications Commission and the fact that it just wore him out, is down there working day and night. He's gotten a lot of information. He's finding out where the various groups are standing. And I told you that there has been introduced by the subcommittee of the Committee on Foreign Commerce and affairs that have to do with commerce, this bill, H.R. 12993, which is just the opposite of what we've been asking for. It gives the FCC more power, broadens its whole scope of operation and authority. In fact, the Congress, if this is passed, more or less abdicates in favor of the FCC. Instead of making the laws and laying down the rules as Congress should, this bill refers everything back over into the hands of the FCC for decision. Now, I want to talk about one or two of these other provisions that I haven't mentioned. But, ladies and gentlemen, if there ever was a time when those of us who want freedom and want these government bureaus to be reduced in their power rather than strengthened and increased in their power, we've got it right this very moment. Now, no one in this country is more deeply involved in the question of freedom on the radio than is Carl McIntyre. We've lost our station, WXUR. The battle has been joined in the courts. We've been into 5 federal courts trying to get these questions of free speech and the First Amendment rights of the people and of the preachers and of the stations considered, and we haven't gotten anywhere. We've got a perfect record of turndowns in 5 federal courts. Folks, it really makes you wonder. It really makes you wonder. And then, of course, now we've got this bill of Mr. Rarick, Congressman John Rarick, that heroic congressman from Louisiana. And he's asking that radio station WXUR be put back on the air by an act of Congress. The great injustice that's been done, a minority religious group has had taken away from it. $500,000 of capital investment, $450,000 it is, all been lost, taken away by the Federal Communications Commission. And then over $350,000 has been spent to take the matter up through the courts. And I want to speak about these court procedures now that this new bill has put out. They're broadening that. And the little station, the small radio station, the station that's run by a man and his wife, or by 2 or 3, they're just not going to be able to survive. And what we have at the present moment is a very carefully designed plan to eliminate the little fellas, to concentrate all the power in Washington, D.C., and it simply means that we're moving down the road to government, federal direction, and I should say even ownership of the radio station. It's going to come to that before too long if the Congress goes down the road that these present congressmen are pointing in the new bill. Now, I have a letter here from a congressman that came in yesterday, and more of these congressmen are waking up. You people out there getting in touch with them, and thank the Lord for you. But they're telling us, this man tells us, that we should call upon the Judiciary Committee to hold hearings on the Rarick bill. Now, a number of other congressmen have put in that same bill, and it's there, and it's in a subcommittee of the Judiciary Committee, and we want some hearings. Now, Peter Rodino, the congressman who is head of the Judiciary Committee, you see his face and his remarks on the radio now almost every day because it's his committee that's looking into the question of possible impeachment of the President of the United States. But with his committee wrapped up in the Watergate questions, here we are with our great question of free speech on the radio, getting a grave injustice corrected, not only the loss of money from a minority religious group, but the repression of that minority religious group, taking away from it the right to own and hold a radio station and exercise the First Amendment rights. That's what's happened. And the stigma and the scandal that's been heaped upon this station, upon Dr. McIntyre particularly, over the country as a result of all this, is something that only Congress can now correct. Therefore, we're asking all you people right now, I'm going to ask you today, as many of you as possible, to write Mr. Peter Rodino, Peter Rodino, chairman of the Committee of the Judiciary of the House of Representatives, that's all you need. Peter Rodino, or just chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, and say, please, Mr. Rodino, won't you give some attention to this private bill and correct the injustice and get into these questions? Hold a hearing. What we need now is a hearing. They seem to be quick to have hearings on this or hearings on the oil or hearings on Watergate. They can have any hearing down there they want to. But here's a very, very important issue that's related to speech and the First Amendment. Of course, we've got our big First Amendment march coming up here now, and maybe they want to play it down. They all know it's coming. Our circulars have been distributed all over the place down there, all over the Congress. And you people out there are praying that we'll bring into Washington the greatest company of Christian people, Bible-believing Christians. Folks, we've got plenty of grievances, plenty of them right now. And our greatest grievance is the repression of speech by the Federal Communications Commission. The intimidation, the censorship, the fact that preachers now can't talk about many, many things. We don't have the freedom. We just don't. And I'm doing the best I can to get through with you with all this eliminating of names and references and things of that sort. We just don't give them to you anymore. It just can't be done under the present setup. The censorship is pretty general all over the country. Now, let's have our prayer, and I want to thank all of you. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And yesterday, I told you about the great victory we had here in Collingswood when my own congregation went out again. And in spite of all the difficulties and the pressures and the handicaps and the inflation and the crisis of fuel and the like, our Congress oversubscribed a budget. It was an increased budget of over $9,000 over last year. And we went out and oversubscribed it. It was $241,215, and we oversubscribed it in an afternoon visitation to all the homes, to all our children, to all our people. Now, we've developed it. We've been trained this way. And this is the way our church has made of it, of its great giving, a time of fellowship, a time of prayer, a time of revival, a time of testimony. I think I've said on this radio, at least I've said it in many of the rallies where you people have been with us, that there's only one thing that I'd rather do besides going out and gathering up the Lord's funds for the Lord's work. That's to preach the gospel. But to preach, you have to have the support and the prayers of God's people. And so it is on this broadcast. We don't engage in any form of commercial activities to support the broadcast. We're supporting it by prayer, by contributions, by the tithes, by the gifts of thousands and thousands of you people all over the land. We've come to believe that Dr. McIntyre is standing straight. There's not an ounce of compromise in us. We're just standing for the things of God as we've found them in His precious Word. And we're not ashamed. But ladies and gentlemen, that's the reason the devil's tried to stop us. That's the reason we've run into such abuse. That's the reason we've had all this assault and attack. That's the reason. The old devil knows it. But, ladies, sir, the way to deal with this thing is not to retreat, not to run away, not to back down. The way to deal with it is to turn on the light. And whatsoever doth make manifest is light. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Men love darkness rather than evil because rather than right, they loved the darkness because they knew that their deeds were evil. And so this great rally in Washington, I'm putting the emphasis on it now. I want you people to come. I want you to join us. I want you to be with us on April the 6th. April the 6th. At 12 noon, we'll start our big parade down Pennsylvania Avenue from at the end up there by the state capitol at 4th Street. And we'll move on down to the White House area there and over to the Washington Monument. And there about that great monument out in the open, we'll have our fantastic testimony to freedom as opposed to the repression of the present administration. To the Federal Communications Commission, to Dean Birch. He's the one the president put in there, and he did the job. And now Dean Birch is moving over to the White House to be one of the cabinet-level counselors and advisors to the president. So, folks, we want you to be in prayer. We want you to help us. We want you to realize that Dr. McIntyre's in the greatest struggle of his years. We're in the greatest battle of all the struggles that we've ever faced. Without freedom, we can't have a free country. Without the freedom of the preachers to get up and chase the devil around, resist the devil. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And the old devil's beginning to peep and mutter and bark and sputter, and you've had this exorcist, which is nothing but a satanic operation, and now you're beginning to get more and more of this sort of thing, and both Newsweek and Time of this last week are talking about the psychics. Features on the front page. We're getting so psychic. We're getting into this underground world where these muttering and peeping spirits that Moses condemned in the book of Deuteronomy. Folks, we're interested in the Holy Spirit, not the sons of the devil. We're interested in the sons of God. We're interested in this glorious gospel which has the power to pull down the strongholds. We're interested in the gospel that will turn men from darkness to light, which will take them out of the kingdom of Satan and translate them by the power of a new birth over into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a battle today to get the light and the knowledge of Jesus Christ as it's revealed to us in the Bible out into the hearts and the hands of the people. Darkness is settling down upon us. Crime is in the street. Kidnapping is all about us, ladies and gentlemen. You see it. And we've got repression and tyranny and this sort of thing multiplying itself because we're turning away from God. And when the lights go out, ladies and gentlemen, the old rats come into play. And you know it. Now let us pray. Our Father and our God, we do thank thee today that we have this broadcast ministry that thou hast given it to us. And we pray for every station. We pray for everybody that's listening. We pray that they will realize that a crisis of crises is upon us. And may we get our free speech, and may we get the return of the radios to us, and may we be able to speak to this nation in the hour of its great need, of its great hunger, of the cry that's in the soul of so many people asking God to undertake. How long, O Lord, how long? We thank thee, our Father, that there are believers, there are Christians who trust thee. And we thank thee that this great Collingswood Church, of which we're the pastor, has been used now in a marvelous way to bear testimony to thy goodness. We've seen the love and the faith of people whose hearts are clean and whose hearts are open before thee. And Lord, there are thousands of them listening to me right now, thousands of people who love thee. They love thy Son. They love the Lord Jesus Christ more than they love their own lives. And we thank thee for them, and give us young men, and give us young preachers, and give us young people. This is our prayer, for we ask it in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, are you memorizing Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 to 18 for me? Are you doing it? Have you got it started in your Sunday school class? Let's get this picture of the risen and living and glorified Christ in our hearts. I'm asking all of you to do it. Now, it's Revelation, the last book in the Bible, chapter 1, verse 12 to 18. And I took that great text, and when I saw him, John says, I fell at his feet as dead. And that's what every one of us ought to do. And then we read, he laid his right hand upon me. Oh, folks, don't you want the hand of the Lord upon you? Just to have the hand of the Lord upon you. The blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, a living Christ, one who sits at the right hand of power, one who's coming in the clouds of heaven, one who's going to raise the dead in his own image and likeness, one who shall indeed be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Folks, our hope is in Christ. Our delight is in the Son of God. To me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's what the apostle said. Now, I've gotten over into the areas of the book where we begin to see some of these big events that take place during the tribulation period. And in Revelation 6:12, Revelation 8:5, Revelation 11:13, and finally in Revelation 16:18, you have these references to the earthquakes. The earthquakes. Now, in Matthew 24:7, our Savior tells us that in these latter days, as we look forward to the coming of Christ, there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes. He says the same thing in Luke 21, where there shall be earthquakes in divers places. And these are part of the signs leading up to the second coming, or to the rapture, which is the first aspect of this return of our Christ. And so when we hear of these earthquakes down in Chile, or over in Japan, or out in California, or wherever they break forth, they're in divers places, over there in Turkey, wherever they break forth, the Lord says we'll have an increasing amount of earthquakes just before the coming of the Lord. But when you get into the heart of the book of Revelation, which deals with the moments when the church is in glory, and the old earth is moving on under the leadership of an antichrist and a world dictator called the beast, then you really begin to see some earthquakes. And in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, the first references to nature, the first references to the revulsion that takes place in the physical creation about us is an earthquake. An earthquake. And that earthquake is going to really shake this whole earth up. And so when the Antichrist takes over to begin to rule, then you're going to begin to feel some of the reactions and some of the responses and reflections, I should say, of the moral evil in the physical destruction, the physical evil. You see, physical evil is a reflection of the moral evil that's in the heart of man because of his disobedience of God's law. And then you move on through, and chapter 8 you have another one, and chapter 11 another big earthquake hits this earth, and then finally chapter 16 you get down to the end of it, and here you've got an earthquake, it says, the like of which has never been seen on the face of this earth. The islands are going to simply fall into the sea, the mountains are going to topple over, and it says the cities of the nation shall fall. There it is. The final great earthquake at the end of the tribulation period. And believe me, my dear beloved, when the cities of the nations topple over and the islands pass away and they sink into the ocean and the mountains begin to topple and things like that happen on this earth, it's going to be a great, great convulsion, the like of which this earth has never seen. Folks, this whole earth is in trouble. It's under the wrath of God. This whole earth is headed for judgment. And the only hope for anybody now is to turn to the Son of God and be saved. And then stand up for order and truth and righteousness and the Word of God and the Gospel. And we're fighting now a tremendous battle to keep the doors open so we can get through with the message of salvation to the people. Salvation, salvation, salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the message that God's given us. And God bless you people all over this land. This is Carl McIntyre. And I'm standing here today telling you people who aren't saved, you better get ready for the second coming of Christ. You get ready, my dear friend, so he'll lift you up and gather you up into the heavens and into the clouds. Please, please, I beseech you, today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Sir, put your heart and your faith in Jesus Christ. My, there are a lot of you people listening to me because, you know, I take the right stand on many of these issues of the day. but the great thing that I have for you, and the glorious stand that Dr. McIntyre takes, is for the Word of God. It's for the Bible. It's for the salvation that Jesus Christ has to offer us. And I want you people, all of you, to be in prayer now for the great First Amendment march in Washington. Free speech, the free exercise of religion, the getting back of these freedoms which Dean Birch and which the Federal Communications Commission have taken away from the Christians. We're the ones that are suffering. Here's a great area here in Philadelphia of some 5 million people shut out, closed down. They can't hear. They have a right to hear. The government has no right whatsoever to put its hands on any media of communication. That belongs to the people, not to the government. And we have the First Amendment right, free speech, free exercise of religion. These are the things that are being destroyed. And when they're taken from the people, down goes our system of government and the wonderful blessings that God has given to this land of ours. I mentioned that Mr. Charles Sandman, he was the Republican candidate for governor here in the state, greatly beloved, has written me a letter as of February 27th. Dear Carl, this is simply to inform you that after long consideration and study, I am introducing a bill identical to Congressman Rarick and Hunt for the relief of WXUR, AM, and FM. As all these bills are exactly the same, you know you can count on support from all of us when the original legislation comes up for voting. If I can be of any further assistance in this matter, please do not hesitate to contact me. With all best wishes, I am Charles Sandman, Member of Congress. He's from the district that Cape May, New Jersey is in. Now, folks, this is what every one of our congressmen should do. We're after the freedom. We want a radio station put back on the air by an act of Congress. Never been done before, of course, but we've never had a radio put to death. We've never had a radio station put to death for the reason that WXUR was assaulted by the Federal Communications Commission. I have this bill, and may I point out something else to you? Yesterday I read one section, but you talk about the... Now listen to this. Here's page 7. Quote, the Federal Communications Commission shall... Now this will be the law if they put it through. The subcommittee has come up with this bill. It's before the entire committee. The committee is headed by Holly Staggers of West Virginia. The Federal Communications Commission shall conduct a study of the social, economic, political, and other consequences of the ownership of more than one broadcasting station by one person, and the ownership by one person of one or more broadcasting stations and one or more newspapers or other communications media, and to submit a report to the Committee on Commerce of the Senate and the Committee on Interstate and Foreign Commerce of the House of Representatives on the results of the study, including any recommendations for legislation. In conducting such study, the Commission shall consider relevant data and other materials of the Department of Justice and Health, Education, and Welfare, of the Office of Telecommunication Policy, and other public and private agencies. Such report shall be submitted not later than 2 years after the date of the enactment of this act. Ladies and gentlemen, instead of Congress conducting this invitation, instead of Congress framing the type of legislation that ought to be used in this area if they're going to do anything, the committee is simply saying Congress must ask the FCC to do the work and prepare the whole thing and bring it all in. And what are they going to do? They're going to study the social, economic, and political or other consequences. Folks, the one agency that ought not to be involved in political and economic and social questions in relationship to one man's radio station is the Federal Communications Commission. And here, by statute, the Congress is now instructing, by law, the Federal Communications Commission to get into social, economic, and political and other consequences of the ownership of radio stations. That's none of their business. May I say it with all due respect, That's the business of the Congress. If the Congress is going to do anything like that, it ought to be the Congress to set up a committee. Oh, yes, they can investigate Watergate, all right. They're not putting that over in some other committee. They can investigate this and that. But when it comes to the Federal Communications Commission and these whole areas where the FCC's on great defense, and the FCC's under great attack today, there's no bureau in Washington that's having the public exposure and criticism that being heaped upon the Federal Communications Commissions today. Well, this bill just puts all this in the FCC's hands so they can plan the thing to protect themselves and get to themselves what they want in these areas. Folks, the FCC was set up simply to assign licenses, not to get into these areas of social, economic, and political questions as they relate to the ownership of radio stations by one man or by a dozen men. Every radio station in this country is going to be put under great difficulty, more than they are presently at this present time. Well, all of this is a preliminary to the loss of our radio stations by private owners. It's preliminary to it, and it's a part of the struggle to bring the radios of this country under full and complete government regulation, domination, and I should say eventually even ownership. We're headed down that road, folks, and men see it, I see it. We're going to have a great rally in Washington, D.C. Now, this thing that I'm talking about is in this week's issue of the Christian Beacon. I've offered to send you these, over in the Senate, by the way. Some of these senators over there are looking at this thing a second time, and God bless them. And it may be the Senate's going to be our salvation in blocking what may be done over there in the House in this area. But, folks, we've got to have the supports of you people. And as these congressmen have told me, Doctor, if you want action, you're going to have to keep active. And if you want action in Washington in these areas where there's repression, you're going to have to get the people who love the freedom which is theirs or has been theirs to get up and say so. Folks, it's up to you. It's up to you. Do you understand me? Thank you, and God bless every one of you. I have these great speeches of Senator Sam Irwin and Senator Jesse Helm for you. I want you all to get them. And you people down in North Carolina, there's a lot of you listening to me now. You've been listening for years. Come on, all of you. Let's get up to Washington. Get your buses. You've been there before. Pass the word around. Now, let's get our buses. Get our buses. And we're getting them. And I want all of you, every one of you, wherever you are, to say, here, we're going to help in this matter. We're going to be with Dr. McIntyre. Now, out in some of these areas, especially the new stations in Baltimore and a Red Line station. Tonight I'm going over to Harrisonburg, Virginia, to the Christ Gospel Church at 7:30. And then on Thursday night we'll be in Westminster, Maryland. That's just west of Baltimore a little way, in the senior high school. And there are those of you listening now on WTOW. We're on at 10 a.m. and 6:30. That should be with us in Westminster tomorrow. Now, WBMD is the other station in Washington that's carrying our regular noonday broadcast from 12:30 to 1. That's at 7:50 KC. And, oh, my, the people are listening and they're getting the word around. Now, remember, all of you, that we're running our big buses down to Florida. They're free. They're a part of our big operation. We'll take you down there and back. The buses leave from Collingswood. It's $125 a week. That's room and board and everything in the former Hilton Hotel, but a Bible conference. And then, of course, we have our big Bible conference in the Holy Land, May the 3rd to 13th. And if you'd like to go and be 10 days with us in the greatest Bible conference we've ever held, right on the spot, I'll be leading it. I'll be the principal speaker in the Holy Land Bible Conference. And the registration fees for this conference are $795.
Box 962 is the address.